This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Fiona. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I think we both love some of the quotes from Einstein, and one of the ones I love the most is, "Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid."
Or a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's such a great quote.
I think so, too. And I think instead of pledging the allegiance every day in school, we should quote that. Every child should stand up and say something like
that. I am a genius.
I am a genius.
You know, because we had a gentleman who used to help us in the garden from El Salvador, and he couldn't work things out. He couldn't do math. He couldn't work out really how to organize things in the intellectual world. But put him in a garden, and he was magic. Mm-hmm. He knew about the plants. He knew what they needed. Mm-hmm. He knew how to put them in. He knew how to care for them. It was like he was an absolute genius in the garden. Mm-hmm. But I know that he told me he had tried to learn English. He couldn't. He said it was too much for him because he'd never been to school. And so for him, there goes a doggy, for him it was, he just couldn't get that, the logical part of his brain working. It was almost the flow part or the creative intuitive mm-hmm. part was working, but the other part, already in his 40s, he couldn't connect with. So I think that's a big deal because so many people consider themselves not smart or, you know, as if there's something wrong with their intellect, but everybody's got something that they're a genius at.
Yes, exactly. I remember when I was teaching, I think this was 12th grade, at Crossroads School in Santa Monica, and I was doing life skills and mysteries and ethics. And there was a young lad, 12th grader, that was there, that was a bit different. Yet in my class, which was not a class about your mental intelligence, it was your heart intelligence, how to listen deeply to someone, how not to be judgmental. We used to do 2 hours a week sitting together, practicing deep listening skills and respect, etc. And in this class, he was brilliant. And one of the subjects I brought up, I said, tell a story about yourself that you don't think anybody knows. Because in these groups, we could share things, but they weren't to go outside of the classroom. Mm. So that was part of how you're respecting others. When it came time to this lovely lad, he said that after he was born, something had happened to him and it had damaged his brain. And so he says, it slows me down, but I understand everything. It just slows me down. And what's really hard for me, he said, is I'm being gauged by what everybody else can do. So this goes to Einstein's quote, and he said, I have things that I really love, but I can't get a date, I can't have a friend, nobody wants to be friends with me. Well, by the time this beautiful lad, whose his genius was in his heart and his ability to express that, there wasn't a dry eye in the class. You know, they saw who this guy was. And I remember one of the female students said, look at what we've missed all these years by not understanding this about you.
Wow, what a beautiful thing to say and to realize.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember I gave him an amazing report, and both parents came and saying, what do you mean? He excels. We've never had one of these excels. What do you mean? Really? I said, he excels at what he does in my class. He excels. But they were so ready and almost searching for the failure in this mm-hmm. so that they could do whatever they're doing. But I thought, no, shift your thinking. This is an incredible lad you have here.
And a lot of people, I know a friend of mine had a son, and he'd been a forceps birth, and kitty's going to eat the book. When he was delivered with the forceps, it damaged a little bit of his brain, which means that he couldn't, his connections in his brain weren't firing in a normal way. So when you put him into a schoolroom, he couldn't always connect with what the teacher was saying. So people would think he was dumb in those days because he was slower at getting the connections. But put him with music and he was a genius.
Yeah.
So it's also sometimes autistic children are geniuses at music too.
And I think with my son, when he was little, we didn't know he needed glasses. And it wasn't until he was like 7 years old in a class, maybe the equivalent of first or second grade, probably, because this was in England. I got a call from his teacher saying, get his eyes tested. I think he needs glasses. What he was doing, what Luke was doing up to that point, because boy, did he need glasses, he was memorizing. So he... Oral, A-U-R-A-L, the ear. Orally, not vocally oral, but that, the other. By ear, he was listening and memorizing, listening memory, because he couldn't see the blackboard.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's really, when he was little, developed that aspect of it. But my goodness, I was thinking, if I hadn't known, how long would he have gone on without being able to see?
Absolutely. And so I think the thing is, when we look at a person, we're wanting to know in a way, are they highly intelligent or are they, you know, like in conventional ways, reading, writing, arithmetic, but there is so many. It could be artistic, it could be music, it could be it could be communication, it could be, it's like education is so one-pointed, you know, whatever you like to call it. It's, if you see somebody and you see that they're not getting something, they probably are a genius in something that you don't know, haven't seen yet, or they don't
know. Einstein himself was failing school to begin with, you know. And I think he kept the letters, the report card, saying, this guy is a failure, you know. But there we are.
Yeah, so maybe if you don't think you're a genius, or if you are stuck in some part of your life, ask yourself, because we're often genius in different areas.
Yeah, exactly.
So we may be doing what we've always done, maybe a teacher or maybe something else. But ask yourself, I know I have other genius abilities. Where, if I just start with it? Because sometimes I've found that when you start with it, like music, for example, you feel that you can't do it because it takes a while to get it down. But if you just keep going with it, it after a while it just opens up, and then you've got that genius available to you again.
Right. I think also one of the good, well, not only trying to find where each one of us within ourselves is a genius. Where does our genius lie? Because we all have that, as we said. And explore that. Investigate that. So some people say, well, are you left-brained or are you right-brained? You know, are you artistic or are you analytical?
And actually now they know that there is no right brain or left brain.
Yes.
It's pieces in the brain that manage the flow or the logical, but I think, you know, if we can say, let me expand myself into my other geniuses, the other spaces of genius that I have.
So let me explore that and see where it lies. And as we do that, let's not find ourselves falling into the, oops, well, that didn't work, that's a failure. No, we don't want to use that word at all. You know, and it could be, you could be a genius in just in the way that you think slightly differently than everybody else, and that's your genius, that you get to see things other people might not see.
Yes, and I have a friend who's a genius at cleaning.
Oh.
It's like you walk into her house and you could, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but you could eat off her floor, literally, probably, because somehow she lives in the house, but it's always spectacularly clean. She's a genius with that. I'm not. But I have other areas that I'm stronger in. You know that. So each of us, without judging the other person's genius.
So do you, here's a question regarding your friend who's a genius at house cleaning. Is this a joy? Does genius have to hold joy with it?
That's an interesting question.
I know.
I don't know. Is that true? That would be a very interesting thing to
explore.
Yes,
exactly. Because she may hate house cleaning, but it might be an obsession.
She actually loves house cleaning.
Oh, then it could very well be... I know a new one that came to me over the last few years was... organizing things. So, and I guess that came, I got forced into organizing a bit when I got into radiation and it was like my life was falling apart and I couldn't go home. I had to go stay with my son and all the various things. And I thought, all right, I have this one little room that we're sitting in now. And, well, let me just make it as good as I can and organize it. So I got to really enjoy doing that. And I like to or put things in, find the right place for things. It's better maybe than organizing, because it's almost spiritual in a sense to me, is where does this belong? Let me see where this belongs. Okay, this feels right over here. I do the same thing with my plants. I look at them, I watch how they're liking where they are. Do they need a little adjustment? Does that plant want to be next to that plant a little? And of course, my connection doing that to nature got so much deeper. So just because I got cancer, I also got a whole bunch of other insights and experiences in my life that I would never have had otherwise.
Yeah, and that's the gift in things happening to us and us looking at them to see which gifts they bring us, because they always do, no matter what it is. So it's like somebody might go through losing their house, but in the same time, they're expanding other areas of themselves and finding new ways to look at things. And you know, the difficult thing is if we go into judgment and feeling like we're wrong or someone else is wrong, that kind of it takes away from our genius, and it takes away from us feeling or feeling that we should have been a particular way. Like a lot of people focus on IQ. So if...
Do you know what your IQ is?
No, I've never had it done. I know Bob says 165. But.
Isn't it funny? I always thought when we were little, I was told, oh, it's kept a secret from you, so nobody knows what their IQ is. Well, my sister found out very quickly what her IQ was. And everybody's talking about what their IQ is. I have no idea, and I wonder whether my IQ is so low they've been it's been hidden from me.
No, I think that you're right, because Bob's mom didn't tell him either. That I think maybe they didn't want people to judge themselves on their IQ levels, because she found out later in life that he was 165. But the truth of the matter is, that is one area of genius. I think
that's one tiny area of genius.
And a lot of people, if you put certain people into IQ tests who are genius other levels, other ways, you won't find it. Like a genius artist may score really low on an IQ, or may not. I don't know. But we can't contain ourselves or judge ourselves or hold ourselves back, because we think the only genius is intellectual.
Yeah. Because there's so much more than intellectual. There's so much more. You know, there's the heart. There is
music and creativity.
And creativity brings such joy. So when I think of creativity, now some people might like that analyzing things brings them great joy. Looking at spreadsheets brings them great joy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so dyslexic numerically that there's no way I can understand how that would bring anybody any joy or interest. And And at the same time, I'm so glad there are people that do that, yes, because I certainly can't. Uh-huh. But, you know, I don't want to be thought stupid because I can't do that.
Well, I think, you know, when we have to, I love that statement by Byron Katie, which is, I know you love me, you just don't know it yet. And I think that's what I always say when I stand up in front of a group of people. Since I heard that, I was, you know, 20 years ago, I always, when I stand up in a group to do something in front of a group of people, I always say that to myself a few times. So having had bad stage fright when I was a singer, if I'd had that statement, I would have been a much better singer. And you would have probably been more comfortable with acting.
Oh, absolutely. I went into acting for a whole different reason than acting. I think it was just escaping, you know. But at the same time, I did not want to be seen. So what a silly thing. But so many experiences it brought me.
Yes, you know, so many gifts. So, you know, even as I said, gardening, like with Miguel, you could be a genius at gardening, yeah, or you could be a genius at organizing. You mm-hmm. could be a genius at speaking.
Yeah.
And, you know, so just communicating with animals.
Not only that, but you could be a genius at taking care of others.
Yes.
Frail, either children or elderly. That's a real gift. And I remember maybe it was about 30 years ago, there was a young girl who had an argument with her parents and she was kicked out of the house. And she was told she was dumb and she was stupid. And she was trying to not live on the streets and try to. And the only job she could get was looking after an extremely elderly person and helping her with the toilet stuff and cleaning toilets. And she called me. She was so disappointed. And I said, but do you know that is one of the most sacred work you could do? According to the Buddhists, this is very sacred work. But not only the Buddhists, but also many of the indigenous people who still live close to the earth, knowing, looking after the elderly and the very young is a sacred, sacred job. So that used to ease her when I'd say no. And if you do it really well, you know, there are very few people that can do it really well. So support somebody. My thinking is support somebody who's looking for
where their genius is.
Where their genius is.
And as Einstein said, that everybody has a genius within themselves. And let's read it again. Everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll live its whole life believing that it's stupid. And a lot of people do believe their whole lives that they're stupid in some way or other.
I sure did for many, many, many years, because that's what I was told as a kid, that I was stupid.
Well, you had one sister just below you who was brilliant.
Two sisters that were brilliant. Mm. The one just 14 months younger than me. And her brilliance lies in a different way than other people's. This is what I was addressing before. She is, to me, one of the greatest lateral thinkers. She'll look at something completely on its side and see something that other people cannot see with it. And that, I find, is her brilliance. My late sister, my baby sister, who died at the age of, I think she was 43, was absolutely brilliant. She had focus. She could learn anything. Anything. She was the first female class in Princeton. Graduating cum laude, you know. Did law school in 2 years, you know. So she had that ability to totally focused, but there was something, and I can say it now, her ability was to focus and grab something legally. So here's the legal mind. What that legal mind, that sort of left brain, is that the left brain part of it? What
they legal brain would be, left brain.
The analytical brain. She had that up the wazoo, the legal brain. But where her ability as a lawyer to argue a case, her strategy went more to manipulation. And I kept saying to her, no, you need strategy. You don't need manipulation. But her focus was so analytical, she couldn't move to the other part of her that would look at, open up to strategies and, you know, rather than trying to manipulate a situation. So you see what I mean? So in our family, there's, I've got this great sister who's a lateral thinker, my late sister, who is brilliant, focused, brilliant. You know, she sort of took after my father and that brilliance. And then there's me.
You have lots of brilliances in all different areas, though. I mean, you're a brilliant actress and you are a brilliant communicator and teacher and a spiritual thinker. I mean, you have a lot of brilliance in a lot of areas. The interesting thing about school brilliance is...
there's no other areas but what they give you.
Yeah, and my dad, as you know, because I had a difficult learning disability, so he would sit with me and present it in all different ways. I was lucky to have him that way. Yeah. And also he allowed me to leave school and do the last year by myself. I homeschooled myself. And then when I got to college, I did brilliantly because it was presented in a different way than school was.
Right.
So it's like we have to, when we're looking people and we say, oh, they're dumb, if we could just stop and breathe and say to ourselves, let me find their brilliance.
Yeah.
Because if people had looked at Miguel, for example, he's now back in El Salvador, if he had looked at him and said, oh, he can't even work out numbers, he can't even, you know, but if they'd seen him in his brilliance in the garden, and they'd really been able to acknowledge that as brilliance, he was a master in the garden.
Thank God for people like that, you know?
Yeah, and also for, there were several people on the street who had him help them, and they realized it too. Because it was hard not to see how brilliant he was in the garden.
That's what I love about communities that still live very close to Mother Earth, is they're far more aware of the communities, everybody in the community, what their gifts are, and they help them.
Yeah, and it's not so much just the intellect, like, you know, how many degrees do you have? And it's wonderful to have a bunch of degrees if that is one of your brilliances. So today, maybe ask yourself, what is my brilliance? And which other areas? What is my genius? What other areas maybe have I not acknowledged the fact that I have a genius?
And if you can't find it, if you can't pull it out of your hat right away, this is your journey. Yeah. Investigate. Explore this. This is a fun thing to do. This is a joyful thing to do. Where is my brilliance? Where am I a genius?
Yes. And you are, so don't forget.
That's right.
This is www.earthtriberadio.com.
Goodbye, genius.
Goodbye, genius.